headlines this hour. Britain expels a Mossad agent over forging UK passports in a Dubai assassination.
We have concluded that there are compelling reasons to believe that Israel was responsible for the misuse of the British passports. The government takes this matter extremely seriously.
At least six people have been killed in a US drone attack on the suburbs of the Pakistani town of Miranshah. And Turkey's Prime Minister warns the country's judiciary against blocking constitutional reforms.
It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Britain has expelled an Israeli diplomat from London after an investigation revealed that it was highly likely that Israel forged British passports as part of a plot to kill a Hamas commander, Mahmoud al-Mabhouh. The expulsion marks a rare low in UK-Israel relations, but pro-Palestinian groups say it doesn't go far enough. Press TV's Roshan Mohammed Saleh reports.
Britain and Israel are close allies. But relations between London and Tel Aviv have been strained since it emerged that forged British passports were used by the alleged assassins of a senior Hamas commander in a Dubai hotel in January. And the British Foreign Secretary moved from expressions of concern over Israel's behaviour to concrete action against Tel Aviv. This after he received the preliminary findings of an investigation by the UK's Serious and Organised Crime Agency.
I have asked that a member of the Embassy of Israel be withdrawn from the UK as a result of this affair, and this is taking place. Right Honourable and Honourable Members will be concerned about the fate of the British passport holders concerned. As one of them said, to go to bed a citizen and wake up as a wanted terrorist is shocking.
Miliband said the UK had no advance knowledge of the Dubai murder and called Israel's behaviour a breach of trust with a friendly nation.
We have concluded that there are compelling reasons to believe that Israel was responsible for the misuse of the British passports. The government takes this matter extremely seriously. Such misuse of British passports is intolerable. It presents a hazard for the safety of British nationals in the region. It also represents a profound disregard for the sovereignty of the United Kingdom.
Pro-Palestinian groups in the UK welcomed the move, but said it didn't go far enough. They say the murder of al-Mabhouh was the real crime, and the British government has yet to condemn that.
This man was clearly killed either by or at the behest of the terrorist state of Israel. And they've dragged Britain and Ireland and France and Germany, all of whose national passports were used in this operation, into this dreadful story.
The British government has been accused by pro-Palestinian groups of treating Israel with kid gloves, of issuing mild statements of condemnation over issues such as the Dubai killing without backing up that condemnation with concrete action. So this latest move by David Miliband will be welcomed by many. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
Well, a top Hamas leader, Salah al-Bardawil, has hailed Britain's decision to expel the Israeli diplomat. Bardawil says he welcomes the British position to expel a Mossad official in what he calls the Zionist embassy's role in the assassination of Mahmoud al-Mabhouh in Dubai. He says Hamas hopes Britain's condemnation will rise to the legal level and result in the trial and prosecution of Israeli leaders for this and other crimes they have committed against the Palestinians. This while Israel's ambassador to the UK, Ron Prosor, says Tel Aviv is disappointed at Britain's expulsion of the Israeli diplomat. He has added that the relationship between Israel and the United Kingdom is of mutual importance. He also said it's Israel's clear intention to strengthen the firm foundation of relationships between both countries.
The Israeli Prime Minister continues to defy the international community over the issue of settlement activities. Benjamin Netanyahu is meeting U.S. leaders to justify plans to build 1,600 new settlement units in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Netanyahu is shortly expected to meet President Barack Obama. He's met with Vice President Joe Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. He's also held talks with the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Earlier, Netanyahu reaffirmed Israel's right to build settlements in a speech at an annual policy meeting of the main pro-Israel lobby in the U.S., known as the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC. The Obama administration has strongly criticized Israel's recent settlement plan. However, Netanyahu told AIPAC that he was confident of Washington's enduring friendship.
In Brussels, Special Peace Envoy Tony Blair was less than welcome as he visited to discuss the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Press TV's Jennifer Baker reports.
Tony Blair's optimistic view of Middle East peace prospects was met with skepticism from MEPs in Brussels on Monday. Development Committee Chair Eva Joly was critical of Blair's performance so far as quartet representative, asking why he has not unilaterally declared two states. Mr. Blair responded that the only solution which will last is the one negotiated. Other MEPs less than impressed with Blair's performance included Dominique Baudis and Richard Howitt.
We had a very good, very constructive, very frank discussion actually about the Israeli-Palestinian situation. And this complete agreement on two things. First of all, to get back into direct negotiations as soon as possible between the two parties on all the core issues. And secondly, to support that by the ground-up work.
The escalation of violence in Gaza in recent days also naturally cast a shadow over the meeting.
The events of the past couple of weeks have been very serious. They've been a setback, but these setbacks occur.
Following the Foreign Affairs Council meeting, EU High Representative Catherine Ashton also condemned the violence, but looked to the future.
We all recognise the significance of the Arab Peace Initiative and look forward to closer cooperation between the Quartet and the parties and the Arab League. And we urge regional governments to publicly support the resumption of bilateral negotiation.
Mr. Blair's visit was also marred by an attempted civilian arrest made by an Irish journalist, David Cronin. He told Press TV that it was laughable that Blair should be a peace envoy.
I think it's deeply ironic that Tony Blair is a special envoy for the so-called Middle East peace process. The filmmaker Ken Loach, I thought, put it quite well just over a year ago when he said that satire died the day that Henry Kissinger was given the Nobel Peace Prize, and it died a second time the day that Tony Blair was made a special envoy for the Middle East peace process.
Despite the difficulties faced by Mr. Blair, whose presence is as often divisive as it is unifying, there are some rays of hope for the peace process. MEP Pruncius de Rossa praised the many Israeli and Palestinian businessmen present at yesterday's meeting, saying that they are the ones building the real paths towards peace. Jennifer Baker, Press TV, Brussels.
Now, a US drone attack has killed at least six people in northwest Pakistan. Security officials say the unmanned aircraft fired two missiles into a compound in the suburbs of Miranshah town and the North Waziristan tribal area. Reports say two others have also been injured. The number of fatalities is expected to rise. The U.S. has increased its air raids in the lawless tribal regions of Afghanistan and Pakistan, claiming to target senior al-Qaeda and Taliban figures. However, numerous civilians have fallen victim to these drone strikes. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the attacks, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty.
Well, moving on to neighboring Afghanistan now, four NATO soldiers have been killed in 2 days in the south of the country. In the latest incident, a NATO military helicopter crashed into a hillside in Wardak province, killing a Turkish soldier. The exact cause of the crash is not determined yet. Three other soldiers were injured in the crash. On Monday, three NATO soldiers were killed in separate incidents in southern Afghanistan. At least 131 NATO troops have been killed in Afghanistan so far in 2010.
Now, in Iraq, two main Shia political blocs are discussing a merger as final preliminary vote count of the parliamentary elections is scheduled to be released on Friday. A member of the premier's State of Law coalition says there have been several meetings with the Iraqi National Alliance. The talks have been aiming to reach a deal to form an alliance or merge both coalitions. Ayad Alawi's Iraqiya and Prime Minister Nouriel Maliki's coalitions are in a neck-and-neck election race nationwide, with no one expected to get an outright majority. A preliminary count of 95% of the votes shows Maliki's State of Law is trailing behind Alawi's Iraqiya with nearly 11,000 votes.
Brazil has once again said that only dialogue can resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear energy program. Brazil's foreign minister, Celso Amorim, urged the international community to negotiate with Iran rather than seek to impose sanctions. Amore made the comments after talks with the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano. The U.S. and its allies have urged Brazil to back sanctions against Iran. However, Brazil says Tehran is entitled to peaceful nuclear energy for civilian purposes.
Turkey's Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has warned the capital's judges that they have no right to oppose constitutional reform plans. The proposed changes would give the president more control over the appointment of judges to Ankara's constitutional court. The changes would also make military personnel liable to prosecution in civil rather than military courts. Erdogan said the country's judges should give up interfering in executive and legislative powers. Senior judges joined a chorus of criticism, with one charging that the changes would infringe the separation of powers. The ruling AK Party defends the legal changes as an important step in a European Union accession process.
Official figures show acts of politically motivated violence in Germany have reached the highest level since 2001. Authorities say political violence rose by more than 20% in 2009. Violence and vandalism by extreme leftists increased by 40% compared to 2008, to nearly 9,400 cases. That was so far outnumbered by the rightist offenses, though those decreased in number last year by about 5% to nearly 19,500 cases, including one murder. The Interior Ministry has voiced worry at the enormous upsurge of politically motivated physical violence by the leftists. It says that this has now outnumbered similar assault by the rightists. Well, earlier, our correspondent in Berlin commented on the only politically motivated murder in Germany last year. The victim was a Muslim woman who was stabbed to death for her Islamic hijab.
And it was the only person who died because of political motivated violence. And as the judge and jury clearly said, this was a political murder. Mava El-Shabini, the Egyptian woman, she was murdered in a courtroom in Dresden, stabbed 18 times by a fanatic racist and an Islamophobe who previously had said that he would vote for extreme right-wing parties. This was surely the most prominent murder that occurred, and the only murder that occurred. Still, we still have a lot more, even though with all this talk about left extremist violence, we still in Germany have a lot more right extremist violence and right extremist offenses than left extremist offenses.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Britain expels a Mossad agent over forging UK passports in a Dubai assassination.
We have concluded that there are compelling reasons to believe that Israel was responsible for the misuse of the British passport. The government takes this matter extremely seriously.
At least six people have been killed in a US drone attack on the suburbs of the Pakistani town of Miran Shah. And Turkey's Prime Minister warns the country's judiciary against blocking constitutional reforms.